This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. With me is Phil Conlon, Classical Underground.
Good afternoon, Phil.
Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m.
Oh, thanks for the plug. I appreciate it.
For the uninitiated. We know that you're all tuning, and this is not a secret. We're going to be talking about today's Labor Day. And Phil, you attended.
I attended. Marched on Labor Day.
So we have a witness, an eyewitness.
Yeah.
And we'll be speaking to Tony Leah, because Tony Leah is our labor authority, and his union, Unifor, is in the middle of several major contract disputes. But let's start off also with saying about Labor Day that you know it's Labor Day because U.S. warplanes fly low over the city and put your teeth on edge and remind you that they are the Blue Angels and the elite of the elite. To thrill you and to thrill Jagmeet Singh and the NDP, who were in the Labor Day March, that's to remind you that they're the boss, and that for all I know, they drop bombs on Libya, Afghanistan, Serbia, and Syria. Somebody can remind me if I've left out.
You left out Iraq, and of course we have to remember Vietnam. They never apologized, right?
Apologizing? Give me a break.
Phil, I did call City Hall and tell them, as a citizen who lives directly under the path of those things, I object. They said, thank you very much. Your objection is noted. Okay, so they noted it. And
I asked you not to call again.
Well, they said whether I call again or don't call again, they really don't care.
Yeah. Now, look, this is important to tell, and we'll be talking with Tony Leah about this, but, you know, actually, this is an example of our backwardness. I said that it is Labor Day, and you know it's Labor Day because the warplanes, Canadian and U.S., fly over our city, making a great noise, and so people say, well, that's our tradition, and so I checked with Montreal. There are no warplanes flying over Montreal, and never have. They don't fly over Montreal on Labor Day. And further to that, in Montreal and in Quebec, it's a holiday. There are no marches. They do march. Now, this is something for CSIS and others to look into. They march on May Day.
Oh, that's serious.
May Day is so alien to the American spirit that they have forgotten that they're the ones who started it. They were the first May Day. By the way, they were fighting for the shorter work week, which is one of the great daydreams of North American labor. However, it's very important to notice why we accept this, that it's called Labor Day, and warplanes are the most remarkable thing that happened. And of course, well, they had their parade, etc. But it really, I don't think you could underline more how foolish we are. Further detail, and we'll talk with, it's Labor Day, we'll talk with Brother Leah about this. They do celebrate May Day in Quebec, and the May Day is sponsored by the unions. Hello, Ontario. Hello, Western. All of you who are celebrating it on September the 1st are part of the neocolonial enterprise. You are nothing more than an endorsers of the great empire, the British American Empire. And they told you, you can't do anything on May Day, and because it's Anglo-Canada, you don't do it. Quebec, which has a different history, they celebrate May Day, sponsored by, led by, the organized labor of Quebec. And at the front of the march, or whoever is on strike, will lead the march, and they don't go to a royal exposition and get a free entrance and a hot dog. I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, I have to make a correction here, Phil. There's no free hot dog.
Yeah, what do you, that's shocking. I thought they would give you a hot dog, no? How about a donut, no?
No, no.
So, now, before we talk to Tony in the time we have, I want to make sure I congratulate the Eritrean community around the world and celebrate the fact that they have been celebrating their Independence Day, which goes back to the years of liberation struggle against colonialism, and that they have been showing, in my view, really amazing courage and patience with a situation which is highly embarrassing and should be in Canada, because in Calgary on Saturday night there was an attack by what the press calls a group, and on a regularly scheduled event of the Eritrean community, an annual event. They didn't make it up. They didn't pull it out of their ear. They do it every year. And all people in the world, from wherever they are from, if they love their countries of origin, are glad to celebrate their country. And here, we've developed part of, we are now involved with what I call NATO Think. So, an organization said that they decided a year ago that they would disrupt all Eritrean community events. They said, we're going to disrupt. They didn't say we're going to protest. They said we're going to disrupt. They want to intimidate Eritreans who live abroad for whatever reason. And so they set up to do this, and they have, I would say, succeeded in their task, because authorities in the West and Canada have been complicit in permitting this to happen. The organization is called the Brigade. Brigade is not the name of a political group. And the name means to the death. And so that isn't the feature of reporting here. We're in a dark spot, in that you can hear on the Taylor Report, you will not hear on the CBC and elsewhere, an actual discussion of who these people are, and also whether they're criminal. The last time I saw anything pretending to be an informed comment on the Eritrean community was an article in the Toronto Star, and their lead was to quote someone from the Eritrean government commenting on the violence. We've had violence all summer long. And the comment was a pejorative word, calling them bad names. So, and they said, you see, oh my, we're supposed to think that bad Eritrea. All right, I have another word. They don't like that word. Here's a word, criminal. You like the word criminal? Because someone who says and plans to violently assault meetings, legal meetings, with historically established communities, which have been going on in Canada for 30, 40 years, those meetings are going to be assaulted, disrupted, and the person says it ahead of time, and then they carry it out. They're criminals. And the word for what they did or are doing is a joint criminal enterprise. And there's another word, conspired. They conspired, according to them, out of their own mouths, that they were going to cancel the rights of the Eritrean community to go about its business. So, in Canada, what was the result? All you do, and this is an old game, and that's why on this program I called it a program. It's an old game. An organization which has no public image, you can't track them down, they don't have a constitution, they don't have an historical existence. They don't make their cases legal cases. Instead, they're a brigade, that is to say, sort of a combat group. Say they're going to do something, and then they carry it out. They, in this case, in Toronto, and of course later in Edmonton, and now they've done it in Calgary. They assault a community, and the authorities' response is to reward them. The mayor of Toronto, I think, by the way, a decision was made to cancel a four-day scheduled legal permit group. They were not allowed to have their to do what they do by persons unknown. I haven't seen any clear responsibility taken for that. But what they did was reward persons of no known address whose leadership say they are disruptors, and they haven't been, there's no criminal, no charges. So they got what they wanted, and I have to say, is this deliberate not knowing? You know, there's nobody as blind as the one who won't see. And look at how the things, one of the reasons Canadians are, you know, I would say a little bit shocked and aghast is that there's no proper reporting. I noticed one report from Calgary, which sheds a lot of light, in my view, on what's going on. A witness said, the reporter didn't bother to follow up. Here's what the witness said in Calgary. Trouble with bookmarks is that they fall out of your hand. Yeah. Here we are. All right. Here's the first witness. It was interviewed by the CBC. This happened on at 6 p.m. northeastern Calgary, and there were 150. The 200 young guys holding long sticks, they rushed toward the other side. The other side would be the people illegally attending an event that they have attended for years. The other side, thank you CBC, you wonderful pack of idiots, or deliberate misinformation, toward the other side, said Mian Wahid. It looked like they were going to going there to attack some other people or some group. He said, initially, I thought that they were protesting, but suddenly they started rushing toward the other side. Yeah, the other side again. Those who are minding their own business, ordinary civilians, members of a known group, publicly proud of themselves, as they should, Eritrean Canadians. Second witness said this. People were coming out of their cars with 2x4s and pipe. One guy told me they were protesting the dictatorship in Eritrea. And I thought, why do they have 2x4s and pipes if they are protesting a dictatorship? Here, CBC, that gentleman gave you the question to ask, but all you've got are two sides. Guess what they think happened? They think there was a clash. You know, if you assault somebody on the street, he might fight back, but when it comes time to go to jail, the guy who did the assaulting is the one who goes to jail. A person defending himself from an attack is doing that because the authorities failed to protect him. They didn't protect the person. He had to protect himself. Ramsey Clark, who was my boss and good friend, said that in America they have a crime they call resisting assault. Black Americans get locked up in jail for resisting assault. And really, that is our danger. I'm not going to answer that. So, this is what happened, and the media, instead of pointing out that one group were criminals, flat out criminals. Incidentally, we had an event also Saturday night, 6 p.m. This is all coordinated stuff. And the people wearing blue shirts came to protest, they said, a group which was commemorating the independence of Eritrea. But the ones in the street had pipes, they had sticks, clubs. And I'm asking, I want to ask the police, maybe Mayor Chow, why is that permitted? I saw them, by the way, with my own eyes. I happened to turn into a parking lot where, lo and behold, there was three or four of them, and they had long poles, not the kind that you need for a protest. And Phil, you would know. Anybody with labor experience, anybody with protest, etc., knows that very often the police say to you, you bring anything resembling a weapon, and we will arrest you. But they blocked off the street, permitted the demonstrators to harass people attending a meeting, and make it of course, an expensive, ugly spectacle, which was the goal of this criminal enterprise. They're very proud of themselves. One of these gentlemen actually had his picture taken long ago with the mayor of Toronto, and so he likes to show that off. And then under the picture, he's kind of a political grifter in that, you know, years ago he had the picture taken, now he adds things underneath it because that's cute. But he said, I want to thank the mayor for, or a shout out to, or something, for canceling the Festival of Hate. Well, I'm going to say this to the mayor. That's your picture. This is a guy. Maybe you don't even know him. But he just called this entity, the Eritrean Canadian community, they are citizens, they have rights. He just called their gathering a Festival of Hate, and he thanked you. So, is that your position? Inquiring minds, as they say, would like to know. But I think it's a very dangerous situation. I think it's an ugly situation. I think we're blessed that the Eritrean leadership is well-spoken, and perfectly prepared to defend themselves publicly, politically, and also to demand their rights. One of them is equal protection under the law, and also the right to peaceful gatherings that are not molested by persons unknown, who do, by the way, I got to emphasize, have no status. There's nobody there that says, oh yeah, we're this and that, and we have a constitution. These are people who define themselves as disruptors and destroyers. And if you're in the labor movement, if you believe in multiculturalism, if you believe in the Constitution and the legal protections, everybody should be standing shoulder to shoulder with the Eritrean community. Of course, we all understand that somewhere underneath all this is the NATO philosophy of sanctioning and crushing governments with which Canada is not happy. And, of course, Canada doesn't know whether it is happy or unhappy until they're told by the Americans. But if the Americans tell them they're unhappy, they become very unhappy. And they have picked on various communities in our so-called multicultural society and treated them all like suspects. People going about their business, exercising their legal rights. So let us make sure that we're on the right side of this and that we demand of the city and of the police to protect the right of somebody to have his meeting. Do not cancel his meeting. I don't want to find out that the most important politician in Toronto is a policeman who says, I've decided you can't have that meeting. That is not what we all dream about. If the person has a permit and somebody comes and says, I have a stick and I'm going to break up his meeting, you arrest him. You say, no, you're not. And if he says, I'm a freedom fighter, I don't care who you are, put down the stick and go away. That's how the rules work. But the CBC, one last shot on this. I was watching. They found a professor. I think he might be at Queen's. And I think they're starting to get a little uncomfortable because people are asking, who started it? Well, they did. Every single time. They did. So they asked him. He said, he's a professor, so of course he goes all goofy on you. He says, it was started by the Eritrean government. Well, no, actually. We're talking about an event in Toronto, and of course an event in Edmonton, and an event in Calgary, and the person who started it was a member of a brigade, and he says, because he was mistreated, he says, somewhere else, he can come to Toronto and hit someone with a stick. So here's a professor who really oughtn't go to school. He really needs an education because he didn't understand how this works. If somebody hits you with a stick on the street in Toronto, you don't get to say, I grew up in Eritrea. No. You may have done that. That's your business. But you just hit somebody and you're going to go to jail. And the police should not permit people to wander around loose with weapons. They should say, you come here to protest? Stack all those sticks over there, and then you make a little circle and behave yourself. The way they do with the rest of us. Everybody in Canada has ever been to a demonstration of them stands. There are ground rules, but these guys don't have them. That's why we have a big question mark hanging over the country and hanging over the city. Is it how come people who say they're going to destroy things are permitted to destroy them? Well, I think that's enough sermonizing. This is the Taylor Report. It's CIUT. I noticed that Shay is getting bored. So we're going to have a bite of music, and we're going to come back and talk to a labor leader.